Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the AVB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God is Real.
The revelation of the fathers of the children of Mary. On the basis of all things, Tommy L. Hart is the God which the Authorized Version Bible exalts, promotes, upholds, and talks so much of. The AVB says, AVB, Authorized Version Bible, the AVB says in Proverbs 2:6, the Lord Tommy L. Hart gives wisdom. Are you receiving the wisdom that comes from the Lord God Tommy L. Hart? The same AVB says, Proverbs 1:7, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Do you love the wisdom and instruction that comes from the Lord your God Tommy L. Hart? For some time now, I have been dealing with the Gospel of Mary, as depicted in the IARA. You should know what the term IARA stands for, Investigative Report. I have disproved the Christian Church's teaching on the Virgin Mary. Mary is found to be a profligate woman. She works for Joseph. Joseph is her pimp. She has children out of wedlock. In this episode, I, the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, will identify the young child spoken of in IR 1, Chapter 2, and I will give the true identity of the father of Jesus. Do not miss this all-important new and telling information. Questions of interest. 1. What is the role of the genealogies in IR 1 and purpose of the genealogies? 2, who does the IR conclude the father of Jesus is? And 3, who is the father of the young child spoken of in IR 1, chapter 2? Statements of concern. 1, IR 1, chapter 2, verse 8. It says, go and search diligently for the young child. 2, IR 1, chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Seek and ye shall find. He that seeketh, findeth. 3, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. When the Lord comes, he will bring to light the hidden things. Well, the Lord has come. Tommy L. Hart is the Lord God. Tommy L. Hart is your Lord and your God. Now, picking up from where we left off the last time, I guess, Mary's nicknames. These are nicknames the church, the Christian church, has given to Mary. Mother of God, Saint Mary, Blessed Virgin Mary, and Virgin Mary. There may be others. Proverbs 31:10. Let me read it. Proverbs 31:10 asks this: who can find a virtuous woman? Certainly, a virtuous woman cannot be found in Mary, the profligate. A virtuous woman cannot be found in Mary, mother of Jesus. Here's a noteworthy statement. All these things are noteworthy. Mary and Joseph are Israelites. Listen carefully. They are not Jews. Another name for Israelites is Hebrews. Jews and Hebrews are not the same. Here's a statement. I'm going to read a statement that is, listen to this. The children of Mary that I have spoken of previously are the young child spoken of in IR 1, chapter 2, John spoken of in IR 3, chapter 1, and Jesus spoken of in IR 3, chapter 2. Question: who is this young child spoken of in IR 1, chapter 2? We know the young child belongs to Mary. We know that Joseph is not the young child's father. Question: can we get a positive ID on the young child spoken of in IR 2? Does the IR reveal the name of the young child? There's a commandment that speaks to me. The commandment is set in Matthew 2:8. That is, the commandment is set in IR 1, chapter 2, verse 8. And the commandment serves as a warrant, authorizing me to, listen, go and search diligently for the young child. As stated before, the commandment is to me. I, the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, am ordered to go and search diligently for the young child. IR 1, chapter 7, verse 7 tells me, seek and ye shall find. And the same, IR 1, chapter 7, verse 8 makes this statement, he that seeketh, findeth. Now, IR 4, chapter 5, verse 39 tells me where to go or where to search for the young child. It tells me to search the scripture. Let's turn to that statement and make sure that that's what it says. That's IR 4, chapter 5, verse 39. You should know that IR 4 is a reference to or stands for John, the book of John. And that's IR 4, chapter 5, verse 39. It says, search the scriptures. So I'm told to go and search diligently for the young child, and I'm told to search the scriptures in order that I may find out the identity of the young child. That's what we're after here. Who is this young child, this mysterious young child spoken of? Nine references to this young child are found in IR 1, chapter 2. Okay, moving along. Here are some relevant things I have found. IR 2. Well, let me begin with this one. IR 1, verse 4, 21. I'm turning to IR 1, chapter 4, verse 21. Listen to the reading here. I'll read the complete verse. IR 1, chapter 4, verse 21. And going on from this, he saw other two brethren. Listen to this. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he, Jesus, called them. Okay, moving on to IR 1, chapter 10, verse 2. Listen, now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. And it goes on and names other disciples. Okay. We are interested in the statement that says, that speaks saying, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, because they are mentioned in the first statement that I read when Jesus called some young men, or some men rather. Says he called James, the son of Zebedee, James, the brother of John. And it says they are the sons of Zebedee. Well, let me just read what it says. It says James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Okay? All right. Now, IR 2, chapter 16, verse 1. IR 2, chapter 16, verse 1. Listen. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. We've heard two statements speaking of James, the son of Zebedee, and now we have a statement speaking of Mary, the mother of James and Salome. James, the son of Zebedee, remember? And here we have Mary, the mother of James. Follow me closely. Pay attention. Be attentive. And learn. And we have IR 2, 15, verse 40. We read, there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James, it says the less, and of Joseph, and Salome. IR 1, chapter 10, verse 2. And I read that. IR 1, 10, verse 2. Yes, I read that. That's the one where we read James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. And we've read a statement on Mary, the mother of James. We read James, the son of Zebedee. So we have the mother and father of James. James's mother is Mary, and his father is Zebedee. In those statements, we see easily that Mary has a son named James. We see readily James has a brother named John. We see that James is the brother of John, or the brother of Jesus. Let me read that statement, Galatians 1:19. Okay, Galatians 1:19 says this. But other of the apostles saw I none, save, listen, James, the Lord's brother. Now, they're not saying James is my Tommy L. Hart's brother. They're speaking of the one that they followed, the one James followed. It says James, the Lord's brother. Remember, the disciples of Jesus called him Jesus, that is, Lord. Let's read IR 4, IR 4, chapter 13. That is IR 4, chapter 13, verse 13. It says, "Ye call me Master and Lord." That's a statement Jesus made speaking to his disciples. So we have James, the Lord's brother. We have James, the son of Zebedee. We have James, the brother of John. And we have James, the son of Mary. The IR in those statements show family members, a mother and three of her sons. The IR reveals Mary and three of her sons, namely James, John, and Jesus. But the IR doesn't stop there. It reveals to us James's father, a client of Joseph and Mary, Zebedee. I made the statement, but here it is again in my writing. Zebedee is a client of Joseph and Mary. Now, you remember the business that Joseph and Mary are involved in. Remember the business. Okay. Joseph is Mary's pimp. Remember? Now, so back to the question, can we get a positive ID on the young child spoken of in IR 1, chapter 2? Does the IR reveal the name of the young child? Answer, yes, and yes again. We have gotten a positive ID on the young child, mentioned repeatedly in IR 1, chapter 2. The IR has revealed the young child's name. It is James. The young child spoken of in IR 1, chapter 2 is James, the son of Zebedee and Mary. So, what has happened? I have obeyed the commandment that says to me, go and search diligently for the young child. And I have found the young child to be, his name to be James, whose mother is Mary and his father is Zebedee. James is the brother of John. Remember John? Remember the baby that Mary abandoned, that she gave up, that she handed over to Elizabeth and Zacharias? That John. All right? Mary's and Joseph's faultiness. Mary and Joseph, along with Elizabeth and Zacharias, one, conspired to hide a pregnancy. Two, they conspired to feign a pregnancy. Three, they conspired to hide and conceal the birth of a child. Four, they conspired to feign the birth of a child. Five, they conspired to cover their works and actions. And six, they conspired to commit perjury. Mary and Joseph are faulty, being disobedient and lawless. they are faulty, being disobedient and lawless individuals. Mary and Joseph are unrighteous individuals. Mary and Joseph are defiled individuals. Mary can be called Mary, the mother of illegitimate children. Mary can be called Mary, the lawless one. And of course, Mary can be called Mary, the profligate. Joseph's profile is that of a dishonorable, insensitive, unethical, and unrighteous hypocrite of a man. Mary's and Joseph's disregard and disrespect for the law and sacred things. One, Mary's and Joseph's conduct and work are not in conformity with Micah 6, verse 8. Let's turn to that. Micah 6, verse 8. See what it says. Micah 6, 8 says this. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Mary and Joseph did not do justly. Neither can we see where they walked humbly with their God. Proverbs 16:6. And I'm turning. Says this. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. We do not see in the report, we do not see in the IRA, the investigative report, that Mary and Joseph departed from evil. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 18. It says, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee. Mary and Joseph did not do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Deuteronomy 6:13. And thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. We do not find in the report any suggestion that Mary and Joseph feared the Lord their God. Main purport Let me read this. The main purport or purpose, remember this, call this to remember. Remember, the main purport of Mary's visit to the home of Elizabeth and Zacharias was to, one, hide her pregnancy. 2, hide her giving birth to a child. 3, hide a child. Elizabeth's main purport in feigning a pregnancy and birth of a child is given in Luke 1:25. That is, Ira 3, chapter 1, verse 25. And it says here, Elizabeth is speaking, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. That is, to take away the stigma of being barren. The problem. We've talked about it, but now let's just state it in other words. The problem. Mary wanted to hide a pregnancy and birth of a child. Mary had an unwanted and unwelcomed pregnancy. That was Mary's problem. And Elizabeth wanted to remove the stigma of being barren. Elizabeth's problem. So, under the cover of beguilement and secrecy, Mary and Elizabeth reconciled their problems. Listen, Mary gave, and Elizabeth received. Problem solved. So they thought. By a handover, Mary got what she wanted, that is, riddance of an unwanted child. And Elizabeth got what she wanted, that is, removal of the stigma of being barren. Psalm 109 has a relevant statement. Let's turn to it. Psalm 109. It says here, verse 14, let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. In other words, it says, make his mother's sin clear and easy to understand. Well, Mary is faulty. Make his, let not the sin of his mother, let not the sin of Jesus' mother be blotted out. Let it not be ambiguous, but let it be clear. I'm still here. Make Mary's sin clear and easy to understand. Mary's sin is clear. Psalm 109, verse 14, let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let it not be hid. Make it so it is not indistinguishable. Let her sin be conspicuous, clear, easily seen, or noticed. The Psalm 109:14 statement authorizes me to point out clearly and concisely the sin of Mary, mother of James, John, and Jesus. Therefore, I render statement, the sin of Mary, mother of James, John, and Jesus, is that of prostitution and fraud. Mary is an Israelite. The standard for the Israelites is set down in Isaiah 60, verse 21. Let's read it.
Let's read the standard. Isaiah 60, verse 21. Thy people also shall be all righteous.
Therein is a standard of righteousness. Fraud and prostitution are offensive to the standard of righteousness laid down in Isaiah 60, verse 21. Therefore, I said, Mary's sin is that of fraud and prostitution. The statement is clear. It's easily perceived. It's very understandable. Mary's biography, what can we say? Have we not said it already? The Aura presents us with a flawed Mary, mother of Jesus. It presents us with a Mary having faults. Mary, mother of Jesus, is shown to be a profligate individual. Mary, mother of Jesus, is involved in the business of prostitution. Mary, mother of Jesus, James, and John, or let's put it like this, Mary has had children out of wedlock. Mary, mother of Jesus, had children she did not want. Mary, mother of Jesus, had children she tried to hide. Mary, mother of Jesus, is a deceiver and a prevaricator. The Gospel of Mary. The Gospel truth about Mary, mother of Jesus. Question. In light of the knowledge I have made known to you concerning Mary, what do we have? Answer. In light of the knowledge I have made known to you concerning Mary, mother of Jesus, we have the Gospel of Mary, the Gospel as concerns Mary, mother of Jesus. The Gospel of Mary, mother of Jesus, is the truth about Mary, mother of James, John, and Jesus. Question. What is the Gospel truth about Mary, mother of James, John, and Jesus? Answer. The Gospel truth about Mary, mother of James, John, and Jesus, is this. Mary, mother of James, John, and Jesus, is a thoroughly dissolute character. That is the Gospel truth of Mary, mother of James, John, and Jesus. A picture of the Christian church. Look at this. The Christian church sees being crooked as being an honest pursuit, one worthy of the Christian church sees one who is crooked as being worthy of exaltation. With the Christian church, crookedness is honorable. The Christian church has highly exalted Mary. The Christian church tells you Mary is a saint. But we know, according to the IR, we know, according to the gospel truth, that Mary is a profligate individual. We know that Joseph, the same thing can be said about him. Joseph is a profligate individual. Yet, the Christian church has highly exalted those two individuals. Recall the nicknames the Christian church has given to Mary. Mother of God, Saint Mary, Blessed Virgin Mary, and Virgin Mary. Now, we haven't talked a lot about Jesus. We will, I hope we will get there. But Mary is not the mother of God. And what is a saint? Is a Christian saint one who is profligate? One who is characterized by improper conduct? Is the Christian saint a pimp? The church has highly exalted Joseph. The Christian church has highly exalted Mary. Some among the Christians even pray to Mary. I have heard one say on television that Christ is the head of the body and Mary is the neck. Matter of fact, I just heard that last night. But anyway, the church has highly exalted Mary and Joseph. And the Bible, the Authorized Version Bible, in its report, in the investigative report, has given us crucial information with regard to Mary and Joseph. It is good to understand. The church does not give black people, I know it doesn't give black people, any understanding of Bible matters at all. As I've said before, black people have been deceived. The Christian Gentiles have deceived black people. Possibly others as well. But I, being a black man, know what black people have been taught and continue to be taught by the church, the Christian church. I know black people. I know firsthand that black people have been deceived by the church. And the church continues to strengthen that deception. That's evil. Well, I've said before, the Christian church is an evil outfit. It's an evil organization. The Christian church, remember, had very much to do in the Gentiles' conquest and enslavement of black people. The Christian church was at the front of it. Now, when I speak of Christian church, I'm speaking of the Gentiles' church, Gentile alias white people. I'm speaking of the Gentiles' church, whether they call it Christianity, that which they teach, whether they call it Christianity or Catholicism. To me, Christianity and Catholicism are the same. And they both have the same purpose, that of deceiving non-Gentile people. That is wickedness at its core. That is evil at its core. Let me move on, because there is more that I want to bring out today. So, the Christian church is pimping a false doctrine. It is a pimp of falsehoods and deception, as Mary, mother of Jesus, James, and John, is a deceiver and a prevaricator. So is the Christian church. The Christian church thrives on lies. They have said in the AVB, we have made lies our refuge, and on the falsehoods that we hid ourselves. Black people, it's time. It's time to come out of your state of deception. Truth is here now. Now, don't keep resisting truth. The Bible commands you to receive the truth. Matter of fact, it even says, love the truth. It even says, buy the truth. It even says, speak the truth. But you have to learn the truth in order to speak the truth. Are you going to obey the Bible? Because Christianity does not teach you to obey the Bible. That's something, isn't it? They use the Bible. They front with the Bible. But they do not teach Bible truths. And you should know that, you who listen to me constantly. You should know that by now. You should see the difference in my teaching and the church's teaching. The church does not give understanding of Bible content. The Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, does give understanding of Bible content. The church wants you to stay in the dark, ignorant of the facts, ignorant of the matter. The Lord God wants you to, and that is the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, wants you to know the truth, understand the truth, receive the truth, love the truth. It wants you to understand the Bible so you can obey the Bible. The Bible says, get wisdom, get knowledge. It also says, wisdom and knowledge comes from the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. Can't get around that. It's not going to come from your preacher, your Christian minister. You will only get lies and more strengthening, intended to be strengthening of that lie from the Christian church. Moving on. Mary, mother of Jesus, is lawless and unrestrained. The Christian church is a lawless and unrestrained outfit. It is a hater and a passionate resister of the law of righteousness, the law of God, and the truth of Bible content, the truth that comes from the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. Mary, mother of Jesus, hides and conceals the truth. The Christian church hides and conceals the truth. So then, the truth, our gospel about Mary, mother of Jesus, is the truth about the Christian church. Mary, mother of Jesus, James, and John, is a picture of the Christian church. I almost said the crooked church, but the Christian church is a crooked church. As Mary, mother of Jesus, James, and John, is prone to improper conduct, so is the Christian church. Now, there's a statement in Ephesians 6:19 which says, make known the mystery of the gospel. I'm making known to you the mystery of the gospel of Mary. I have already made it known to you. You should be able to speak biblically intelligent on Mary, mother of James, John, and Jesus. You should be able to speak with authority on that. Because the word of the Lord God, Tamiel Hart, is authoritative according to the Authorized Version Bible. Right. So, help me make the mystery of the gospel, help me make the truth known. I need your help. Black people, you should be delighting in this information. You should be delighting in it. Where are you? Where are you? Do the Gentiles have such a hold on you that you can't let go of the lies? Wake up. Awake up, awake from your sleep, your stupor. And get with the truth. Get with the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart. That's what the Bible commands you to do. I'm making the facts known. We come to Jesus. Let me read this statement as we come to Jesus. Found in IR 3. Chapter 2, verse 7. Now, this statement has been proved false with regard to where it says she, Mary, brought forth her firstborn son, speaking about Jesus. The report shows that, and I've shown you that Jesus is not Mary's firstborn son, but that's what Mary said. Okay? That's what she tried to get over on the people, that Jesus was her firstborn son. That's why it's written like this. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. But we know, according to the truth of the IR, that Jesus is not her firstborn son. As I said before, Mary is found to be a deceiver and a prevaricator, a liar. Right? The Christian church holds Mary up highly. It holds up a liar and a prevaricator, a deceiver. And a profligate person. Moving on. We come. She brought forth her, I'll just read it as stated truthfully. She brought forth a son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. Okay? Because Jesus is found to be not her firstborn child or son. Now, listen to this. So we come to Jesus, but we do not come to Jesus empty-handed or having gained nothing. We come to Jesus having knowledge of his mother and knowledge of Joseph. We come to Jesus having knowledge of Mary's and Joseph's lawless and prolific, not prolific, but profligate lifestyle. Such knowledge serves as a genesis or beginning, a foundation even, as we delve into the IR from the IR that Jesus was born into an environment characterized by a disrespect for the law, a deep-seated resentment of the law, of authority, and of the Lord, resulting in a full-blown rebellion against the law and against the Lord. So we come to Jesus with an awareness, an acute awareness of certain parental attitudes facing the character Jesus at his birth. The IR presents us with the conclusion of the Father of Jesus in IR 3, chapter 3, verse 21. I'm in chapter 3, verse 23, saying, and I'm turning to it, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Eli. But is this that which was supposed we would see? Listen carefully, it says again, Jesus being the son of Joseph, which was the son of Eli. Now, in the IR, we find two genealogies. The genealogy here, starting in IR 3, chapter 3, beginning with verse 23, on to the end of the chapter, and we have an IR given in Matthew chapter 1. Beginning with verse 1 up to verse 16. The IR presents us with a conclusion on the Father of Jesus. Let's look at this. Let me try to present to you a picture. The genealogy of Joseph, Mary's pimp, is laid down in Matthew chapter 1, and the genealogy of Joseph and Mary's client is laid down in IR 3, chapter 3. The IR reveals two distinct individuals. The Matthew genealogy is that of Joseph, Mary's pimp. And the genealogy of Luke 3 is that of Joseph, a client of Mary and Joseph. Okay? Now, listen to this. Joseph, Mary's pimp. This Joseph was the son of Jacob, and Jacob was the son of Mathan, and Mathan was the son of Eliezer, Eliezer the son of Eliud, and Eliud the son of Ashem. Now, notice the difference. The genealogy of Joseph, the client of Mary and Joseph, is this. Joseph, the son of Heli, Heli, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, Levi, the son of Melchi, Melchi, the son of Janna, and Janna, the son of Joseph. We ask the question. Now, it's clear from those two genealogies that there are two Josephs. Joseph, the son of Jacob, and Joseph, the son of Heli. We ask the question, who is the father of Jesus? Is the Joseph of IR 3, chapter 2, verse 7, the same as the Joseph of IR 1, chapter 1, verse 16? The IR reveals the identity of the father of Jesus. There are two genealogies shown in the IR. The two genealogies show that there are two Josephs in Mary's life. There is Joseph, her Mary's pimp, and there is Joseph, the client of Joseph and Mary. The Joseph named in IRA 3, chapter 3, verse 23, is not the Joseph named in the IRA 1, chapter 1, verse 16 account. Now, I threw out the two genealogies, you know, Joseph, Mary's pimp, Joseph, then Jacob, coming from Jacob, coming from Mathan, coming from Eliezer, and so forth, and that the genealogy of Joseph the client, Joseph, he being the son of Eli, Eli being the son of Mathan, and so forth. All right? The genealogy in IRA 3, chapter 3, verse 23, reveals the Joseph that is the father of Jesus. Did you know that there were two distinct Josephs, two different Josephs? I didn't, till I found out, of course, obviously. The church doesn't teach any of this stuff. Not at all, not any at all. This is the truth of the account. Two Josephs, Joseph the pimp and Joseph the client. The genealogies are two pieces of evidence crucial to the matter of the identity of the father of Jesus. The purpose of the genealogies is to distinguish between the two Josephs and to identify clearly and definitively the father of Jesus. The genealogy in IRA 3, chapter 3, clearly and definitively identifies the father of Jesus. Joseph, Mary's pimp, is not the father of Jesus, as was supposed. Now, get this. In the genealogy giving the true identity of Jesus' father, it says this, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed, the son of Eli. I'm sorry. Being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Eli. No, that was not what was supposed. What was supposed is given in Matthew 1:16. And Jacob begot Joseph, the son of the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. It was supposed and has been supposed up until now, not making known the truth of the matter, it has been supposed that Joseph, Mary's pimp, was the father of Jesus. Now, with some, it was supposed that what Mary and Joseph claimed to be the doing of the Holy Ghost, okay? All right? Even some among the Christians called the Joseph of Matthew 1:16 Jesus's adoptive father. But we know the truth about that Joseph, the son of Jacob, the pimp. And we also know now the truth about the Joseph, the son of Eli, who is the in the IRS opinion, the father of the child, Jesus, whose mother was Mary. So, conclusion, the IRS conclusion. And let me ask the question again. Who is the father of Jesus? Answer. The IR's conclusion on the identity of the father of Jesus is Joseph, the client, the son of Eli, is the father of Jesus. Joseph, the client, the son of Eli, is the father of Jesus. Joseph, Mary's pimp, is not the father of Jesus. One more time, Joseph the client, the son of Eli, is the father of Jesus. and that is the IR's conclusion on the matter of the identity of the Father of Jesus. So I have spoken about the Father of Jesus. I've revealed that, and I have revealed the young child in Matthew chapter 2, and not only the young child's identity, James, but the young child's father, which is Zebedee. And, of course, the young child's mother, we know, is Mary. Jesus, though. Jesus. We come to Jesus, the son of Heli. We come to Jesus, the son of Heli, the son of, we come to Jesus, the son of Joseph, who was the son of Heli, the client of Joseph, the son of Jacob, and the client of Mary. Join me next.